time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Sitting in for Dana Rodriguez this week is Professor Lori Fisher. Also, cryptographer Jeremy Horwitz and technical editor Kira Pace round out tonight's panel. And here's your host, Lori Fisher.
Thank you. As you probably know already, there's a guest moderator tonight, already jumping the gun too soon. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely, lovely weekend. We really seem to be, the spring weather is here. You can probably tell by now that the usual moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is away in points semi-unknown, but we'll still keep the nature of the show completely the same. We call in. We encourage you to call in and get in early, ask a lot of questions, answer our questions. As usual, we'll have questions about music, theater, film, cryptography, technical editing, literature, history, geography, literature, and if we're lucky, maybe we'll get a few sports or pop culture or even music after the year 1960 in. While Dana's away, we get to play a little bit. As you know, the show is broadcast across the known and sometimes the unknown universe. And so we hope you're listening on KLW.org or on 91.7 FM. The podcast will be put up almost immediately, so tell your friends if you missed anything. We have a great panel tonight. Jeremy Horwitz and Kara Pacer here with me. I remind you that if you want to get in, the phones are usually emptier at the start of the night. 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134 is the main number, and we have a toll-free number, although I don't know how much they're needed these days, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. We do have a website, but we do have an email address, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. I won't spell it out for you because I think you know that. And those emails go right to Dana. So if you want to critique the show directly, and by critique I mean say wonderful things about it, he'll get those when he comes back here. One quick note, there was a call last week that we didn't answer. I want to encourage Ed of Massachusetts to call because he asked a great question, which is the three longest-running TV shows, I don't know if you heard this, Jeremy, are Gunsmoke, Law & Order, and The Simpsons, sure. And only two actors have been on all three shows.
So I have to throw out my first question from tonight?
Well, is that the question?
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
It's related to
that. Well, if you have the answer, that's wonderful. And tonight, apparently, the Simpsons overtakes Gunsmoke.
Yes, that's the question I had for tonight.
Oh.
The answer was Gunsmoke.
The answer, what was the question? What's going to...
Tonight, The Simpsons becomes... dot. Literally, that was my first question.
Oh, excellent. All right. And then, so if anybody knows... Because we don't. Ed didn't leave the answer. Did you get it?
I know it now, but only... I didn't get it. I looked it up.
So okay. What's the third show?
I am so glad
Law
I did.
Law & Order.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, classic Law & Order?
Yes, classic Law & Order.
Oh, okay.
And so do you want to, as part of the intro, do you want to give the answer?
No. I think people should call in.
Okay, people will call in.
I'm just glad I looked because I was never
Was Richard Belzer on Gunsmoke? Because he's on everything else as John Munch, right?
That was my guess.
Of course.
The young Richard Belzer.
He was on Simpsons and Law & Order. Yeah. I mean, it works. Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll start out with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, and then we'll turn it over to the phones. Kara Pace is proof that you can live clean and right and still get Eddie Money's two tickets to paradise stuck in your head.
It has been in there for a week and a half, and just the chorus. Just
think you
the
can
beginning of the
pack
chorus.
Your bags and, leave tonight.
It's awful.
All right. Maybe the Minds Over Matter theme song will take over.
Or the A-Team?
Yeah.
I usually do try to A-Team it out, but it's not working right now. Eddie Money just sticks. Mm. Anyway, later tonight, Jeremy Horwitz is hosting a pub quiz and hopes to poach some excellent questions from the show tonight. So please call in with your excellent questions.
Do you want to invite the public to the pub?
Sure.
Where is it?
I'm covering for a friend at the Pig and Whistle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's a fine establishment.
It is. Food, beer, liquor, all the best things.
Pigs and Whistles.
Trivia. Pigs and Whistles. All right, with permanent moderator Dana Rodriguez in an undisclosed location where it is currently 4 a.m. tomorrow morning, guest moderator Lori Fisher has teamed with Jeremy Horowitz and Kira Pace for a full evening of sports, pop music, pop culture, and an after party that Dana would simply never allow.
He would not.
I want you to know that every one of my questions is... I wrote it with the thought of Dana rolling his eyes in mind. So,
well, I'll try to emulate his eye roll, but I'm sure I'll like the questions. Anyway, so Kira, give us a question.
All right. So in my imitable way, as it turns out, I have a leading question followed by a list. So leading question. In the song No Sex in the Champagne Room, comedian Chris Rock gives one-line tidbits of advice to the GE class of 1999 as Gerald LaVert sings the background chorus. This song is a parody of what other 1999 Billboard Hot 100 hit? Or what 1999?
Is that the... Wait, number one hit?
No, sorry. Billboard Hot 100.
Is that the Baz Luhrmann thing?
It is. Yeah, wear sunscreen. Everybody's free.
Free to wear sunscreen. Everyone's free. To wear sunscreen. I did the parentheses. You can't hear it over the air.
If we had a bell, I'd ring the bell.
Ding! Ding.
There. Very good. Okay. So that leads to the leading question.
Yeah. So that was from Chris Rock's album Bigger and Blacker, a Grammy-winning comedy album. So these are questions about Grammy-winning comedy albums.
Comedy albums.
So I am going to give you the title of a comedic bit. I'll give you the title of a comedic bit. You tell me whose Grammy-winning comedy album it was featured on.
Nice.
So I have nine of these. So if you would, let me get through the list, and then I will give you each two, and you'll get two away.
Sure.
We'll leave them.
I'll take Carlin and Steve Martin.
And the other five will go out to the audience. But here they are. So names of comedy bits. You give me the album title. The Devil Made Me Buy This Dress.
You don't want just the comedian. You want the name of the...
I don't need the album. You can just give me the comedian. That's
fine. Por que no los dos?
Basketball Jones by Tyrone Shoelaces and Rat Brown Junior High School Band. Jane Fonda's Birthday Party with Barbara Streisand. The next one is called Cocaine. Followed by
Eric Clapton, right?
Followed by Excuse Me.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that one.
Okay, hold on.
I Lost on Jeopardy.
Okay.
A Place for My Stuff. Mother and Son. And finally, Ernestine. So go ahead, Jeremy. You can take one right now.
Sure. I'll take Excuse Me.
Yes.
Is that Martin?
It is. Martin's 1976 album, Let's Get Small. Lori?
Number two album, I believe.
I will go with The Devil Made Me Buy That Dress. That would be Flip Wilson,
I believe.
It
sure is, from the album of the same name.
Okay.
And then, Jeremy, would you like a second
one? Sure. I'm torn. Let me go with, he's on tour right now, so I'll go with I Lost on Jeopardy. I believe that is Yankovic.
It is. It was a B-side to the Eat It single.
That's Weird Al, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll take the only other one I know, I think.
Ernestine,
which is a Lily Tomlin.
Sure is, from This Is a Recording, 1972 Grammy winner.
So give the five that are still out there to the audience.
We still have Basketball Jones by Tyrone Shoelaces and Rat Brown Junior High School Band. That's the first one. Second one, Jane Fonda's Birthday Party with Barbara Streisand. The third one is Cocaine.
That could be anyone.
The third one is Cocaine. The fourth is A Place for My Stuff. And finally, Mother and Son.
All right. So we'll leave those out there for our callers. And Jeremy, what do you have?
I got a bit of a two-parter here. First part, turning 101 on Thursday, what architect and crossword answer favorite designed the Louvre Pyramid, the John F. Kennedy Library, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Didn't we already plug your paycheck?
We're going to do it again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That would be I Am Pay.
It is. And yes, that would then you could get to, of course, finding out whether or not he's alive by going to the Twitter account Paycheck, PEICHECK.
Excellent.
It's your one-stop shop for finding out if I Am Pay is dead or not. And then the follow-up is, who is the only three-time inductee into said Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Though I guess I Am Pay designed the building, not so much the...
Go ahead.
How about Paul McCartney?
No, I believe he's two.
Okay.
That was going to be my guess.
No, sorry.
There's no,
sorry.
He doesn't get solo and wings. I think that's the...
Well, no,
certainly Beatles.
I thought he might.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was a great
guess.
That's
what I thought he might.
That may be the best wrong guess that I can think of.
Right.
So is this solo and two groups?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I don't...
How about Stephen Stills?
No.
Close? Just once?
He may be twice. He may be in for Buffalo Springfield and CSN and or Y.
Yeah.
But probably not solo.
Want another one?
Well, I'll keep with the Beatles and go with George Harrison.
I will give you no, it is no Beatles.
Okay.
Although this person, I believe, has played on a Beatles album.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a pretty good clue.
Well, it could
I think.
Be like Billy Preston, then?
Yeah. It is not Billy Preston.
Yeah.
No.
How about Eric Clapton?
It is Eric Clapton. Can you name the two bands?
Well, he's in Cream.
Absolutely.
And he's in Eric. He's just Eric Old Clapton. And he was in...
He was in a whole bunch of bands, but you've already...
Eric Burden and the Animals?
No. That was Eric Burden.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I thought he was in...
You thought he was an animal?
I don't know why I did. That was very silly.
Was he in a pre-Cream group or post?
This is pre...
Yes. He was in a super group.
Oh, he's in so many. He was in an absolutely super group. But... this is more of a proto supergroup. It launched a bunch of people.
Let's leave him out there for somebody else to get. And I'm going to ask one, and then we'll turn it over to the audience here. The Television Hall of Fame, which I did not know much about.
I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, it exists. It's only existed for about 20 years, about 25 years, but they go back and cover the history of TV. So I have one specific question and then kind of a generic one. The specific one is only one cast of a show was inducted as a cast. So I'm interested in that. And then six different people have been inducted as like a duo, two at a time, they went in. So I'm looking for the entire cast, and I'm looking for the six people who went in as duos.
Lucy and Ricky?
No, they went in separately, as many of those stars did.
All right.
As a cast, how about Seinfeld?
No.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
Yeah. It's probably too recent, but...
Hill Street Blues.
No.
Just wanted to say it like that pretty much was the whole
setup
there.
Well, Television Hall of Fame duos.
Cast? Yeah. Is it a scripted series?
Yes. Okay. For the whole cast?
Yeah.
It is a scripted series.
Okay. Oh, how about...
I'm going to say...
Not the McLaughlin group.
I'm going to say it's scripted. I think series... Just let's say it's scripted.
Oh. Okay.
People are saying lines.
Well, then Saturday Night Live?
That's it.
Oh, very
the
nice.
The original cast of Saturday Night Live.
All right. Although
I won't read all their names, but we'll do that.
George
Coe. We'll leave the duos out there, and we'll go to our first call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Eid.
Hi,
Eid. Last week I asked about chemical elements named after women. And he very correctly guessed one, which was curium, after Marie Curie. But there's another one which nobody guessed. We'll leave it to the audience.
Okay.
I always like to bring these great scientists to our memory. Okay, two questions very quickly. The first one, two very famous battles happened in that part of the world. One is a biblical story of David and Goliath. Second one, the 1260 battle between the Mongolian army and Egyptians. You know, Egyptians won triumphantly. Then they destroyed the Mongolian army. Otherwise, we're speaking Chinese today. So what part of the world is it? Keep in mind, of course, David and Goliath will give you a pretty close idea where it is.
The Middle East.
Yeah, what part?
The middle.
Well, a lot of very sad things happening there today.
Syria.
No.
Oh, there are sad things happening there.
Very bad, very sad thing. Innocent civilian getting shot every day.
That still sounds like Syria to me.
How about Palestine?
No, what part of Palestine?
Oh.
The West Bank, Gaza Strip.
No. What part of Palestine?
The Negev Desert.
No. What part of Palestine that people protesting and they're getting shot at? So far, over almost 2,000 people shot in the last couple of weeks. I'll give his answer.
Okay.
It's Gaza.
On Gaza Strip. Gaza,
which
I
said.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Second question very quickly. Gold. All of us love gold. I'll talk about it. How much gold in 24 carat gold?
How much gold in 24 carats?
Yeah.
are you looking for mass?
Percentage. Percentage.
It's like 100%.
No, it's 99.9.
999.
Okay,
like
well, both of you are correct. 99.5.
Very good.
Very good. How about 22 carat? How much?
22 24ths of that.
22 carat. How much gold in 22?
11 twelfths.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I could still reduce a fraction. Is that it?
Okay. Well, time is short, and I like other people to call, so I will give you the whole answer for all of them. 22 carat is 91.7 gold. 18 carat, 75% gold. 14 carat, 58.3 gold. 12 carat is 50% gold. And 10 carats are 41.7 gold. So when you shop for gold, make sure you know your number. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Next call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hey, Ed in Massachusetts. Welcome back.
Speak I was going to save that till Dana got back next week, but then when you put me right out
I
there.
I put you right in. This question's too fresh. Yeah.
That's fine. Hey, I'm glad. I was impressed that you remembered. Thank you. So the question is this. According to IMDb, the three shows, The Simpsons, Law & Order, and Gunsmoke, are the three longest-running TV shows. And only two actors have guest starred on all three. Who are those two actors?
Now, one of the names, it would be sort of cheating. I was reading about Simpsons overtaking Gunsmoke, and the article said somebody was on two of them, but I almost feel like I stumbled into it and I shouldn't answer. It's a woman. And you said last week they were two men, right?
What I have is two men who have done all three.
Okay, so I'll just say who they said it. They said it was Cloris Leachman, who was on Gunsmoke and The Simpsons. And she seems like she could have been on Law & Order since everybody, including me, I have never been on it.
She's won Emmys in more categories than anyone else.
Is that true?
Yeah,
that's good. Anyway, so
I've got a couple of hints if you want them.
Sure.
We want them.
Yes.
Bring them on.
First of all, I will tell you, these two names are nowhere else are you going to find them together. They're two of the most opposite people I could think of. The first, there's an older one and a younger one. The younger one was the last character killed on the last episode of Gunsmoke.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa.
He also, once upon a time, he's a legitimate actor, was nominated once for a Best Actor Oscar, not for Gunsmoke, but Best Actor Academy Award. And he once played drums with Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson.
Wow.
That probably just confused you even more.
I hope so.
Yeah.
The older of the two, his last live acting performance was his role on Law & Order.
Wow.
So that sort of puts him in time period. And then his voiceover on The Simpsons was his last acting performance of any kind.
Eli Wallach.
That was 1993.
Okay, that's not Eli Wallach.
Would you mind if I added that his Simpson character was actually the character that he played on that sitcom you were talking about last week?
Yep, the older of the two played his more famous TV character, and the younger of the two played himself on The Simpsons.
So, Kira, you know who this is.
Yeah, because I looked it up.
Do you know both of them?
Well, because I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you remember, that's something.
Yeah. I think you should tell us. And it'll, yeah, I think
oh,
so.
No.
What's the Best Actor nomination for? What film?
Oh, that I would not have gotten it off any of those descriptions because I did not know any of those things. If we're talking about the same guy, Ed from Massachusetts, then I am just shocked to learn all of that about him.
You didn't know about the whole drum playing
like Cheech or Chong or something? I mean,
they're more fun facts than they are hints, I suppose.
George Arliss or somebody, yeah. Kieran doesn't want to say.
How about the younger of the two? Has been quoted in anger, threatening to pull out endocrine systems.
What? That could be anyone.
that sounds like him. I don't know that. But
which of us hasn't done that?
Yeah.
I believe he had like some brain damage from a motorcycle accident or a car accident or something like that.
Correct.
And so he makes some intriguing decisions these days.
He's Gary Busey.
More for his motorcycle accident.
Yes, Gary Busey, who had a Best Actor nomination for Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly,
the Buddy Holly story.
So that's Holly. Yep. Okay. Gary Busey is one of them.
That's
he's the young one, I take it.
He's the younger of the two.
Blake of Holt.
Yeah, he played the last character to be killed on Gunsmoke.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So we're looking. So there's out there. And if we don't get it, because Kira doesn't want to say.
Well, playing off Jeremy's Blake of Holt, let's just say that.
He's Jewish?
No, but he was very against.
Ooh, is it Mel Gibson?
Not quite.
No, Hunter?
He was in his sitcom. Hmm. Now, granted, the cast wasn't exactly like the characters weren't Jewish. However, it was World War II, and it did take
Hogan's
place.
Heroes.
Yes,
is this Werner Klemperer or something?
Yes, it was.
Really? Oh man,
wow.
Way to go!
Werner Klemperer and Gary Busey.
Right. There's a couple. You know, well, this, you're right. They are not linked very often.
Wow.
Oh, very good. Okay, Ed, do you have a question too, or is?
Oh. You know what? I had an answer to one of Kira's.
Please.
I wanted to guess cocaine. Is that Richard Pryor?
That one is I would give you either Richard Pryor off his Is It Something I Said 1975 Grammy-winning album or Robin Williams and Night at the Met. Both of them had famous bits called cocaine. But yes, you are correct.
Okay. And the other one, A Place for My Stuff, is George Carlin.
Sure is, from Brain Droppings.
Oh, very good. Good job, Ed. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Some new George Carlin, relatively speaking.
We'll take another call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Good evening.
Good evening. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good. Hi, Sparky.
I think I'll clean the bench on the rest of it. Mother and Son, that's Nichols and May.
An Evening With, sure is.
An Evening With. It's great. You don't call your mother, even though you're a rocket scientist.
Pretty good impression.
Thank you. Basketball Jones, that's Cheech and Chong.
It sure is, from Los Cochinos.
Now is the
second time they've come
Chong.
Up tonight. Yeah.
It's an elaborate song. I mean, George Harrison appeared on there, and quite a few other people. It's like it's a big all-star cast.
In Basketball Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, did you want to finish up the list then? There's Jane Fonda's Birthday Party with Barbara Streisand.
I want to say Gilda Radner, but it's not.
Sorry.
It's not.
It is
okay,
not.
Okay, I'll leave that alone. Of course, the other entry for Eric Clapton is The Yardbirds.
Indeed it is.
The Yardbirds. Very nice.
Which kind of spawned a lot of Hall of Famers because Jimmy Page was in it, therefore Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jeff Beck is in as a solo as well.
Very nice.
He seems to win a Grammy every week.
The duos in the TV Hall of Fame. How about Burns and Allen?
That's one of them. Very good.
And now, we're talking, it's not necessarily limited to scripted shows, right?
Tell us what you mean.
How about Huntley and Brinkley?
They're on it. Very good.
Wow.
I think of that as a scripted show, but scripted, kind of. But but no, I'm glad you got that. Very good.
And I think
Thank
of them
you.
As one
We're
person.
Done.
All right.
Done.
Very nice. All right.
Thank you.
Very good.
Bye.
So, Kira, how about another question?
All right. All right. So, lead-in question followed by a list, as always. So, the MTV VMA's most award-winning video, that's 9 awards in 1987, features a stop-motion segment that was produced by a future 4-time Oscar-winning animator.
Whoa.
What was the video, and who was the animator?
Well, it's Sledgehammer, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer won, pretty much every award evening.
Deservedly so. That's still a great video. And
kept beating Land of Confusion.
Oh, the irony. Yeah. In no sense of irony, but anyway. And then an animator.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I want it to be like Spike Jonze or something like that, but he doesn't have 4 Oscars for animation.
No.
Somebody's won 4 Oscars for animation. Mm-hmm. Is this a Pixar person?
No.
She says with great certainty.
No, I'm trying to think if this person has ever worked with Pixar. I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think stop motion.
It's Don Bluth.
The big key here that he did a stop motion segment.
Harryhausen.
Harryhausen.
Yeah, it's Harryhausen who was dead before they started handing those out, probably.
Sledgehammer.
Much closer than anybody from Pixar, I'd say.
So let's leave that out there. Repeat the question.
Mm-hmm. MTV VMA's most award-winning video was Sledgehammer, 1987. It features a stop motion segment that was produced by a future 4-time Oscar-winning animator. Who was the animator, And then would you mind terribly if I gave my list question?
Go ahead.
Okay, great. So in 2015, Billboard magazine ranked the 50 greatest album covers of all time. So sorry, Sparky and Maddie, you guys called in way too soon. What albums made the top 10? And I disagree with at least half of them.
At least 11 of them.
At least half of them.
Well, Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, Sgt. Pepper's is, yeah, that's.
No?
Nope.
Oh.
It's wrong. The list is wrong. Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes. Right. Dark Side of the Moon is not even number 1, 2, 3, 4. It's number 6.
Trout Mask Replica by Captain Beefheart.
We were just talking about Captain Beefheart the other day, but no.
Okay.
The White Album.
How about Blonde on Blonde?
No, not Blonde.
Highway 61 Revisited. No. Let's just name all the Dylan.
Yeah.
No Dylan.
All right.
Oh, which is the Rolling Stone with the Andy Warhol cover?
Sticky Fingers?
So Rolling Stone's list from 2011 has both Sgt. Pepper and Sticky Fingers on it. However, Billboard's does not. So, right. Nope, not Sticky Fingers.
So we have Dark Side of the Moon. You want one more guess?
Not really.
I would go with a different Beatles song.
Revolver.
Yeah.
What?
Also,
not the Klaus Voormann.
Rubber Soul.
Also on the Rolling Stone list, not on the Billboard.
Rubber Soul?
No.
What? Abbey Road.
There you go.
Okay.
There aren't that many left.
Would you like to guess another Andy Warhol cover, though? No,
oh,
Rolling
Velvet
Stone.
Underground.
That's number one. Okay. Velvet Underground and Nico. That's about the only one I think I really agree with. Well, that and Dark Side of the Moon.
So there's 7 album covers left out there?
Yes.
And our next caller might have one.
Hopefully.
Next
Hopefully
caller.
7.
Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi. This is Scott from Fairmount Heights.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
Hey. All right. Well, I've got kind of stripped on a couple of these since I'm an old guy. So George Carlin and Cheech and Chong, I knew right off pretty much.
We'll give you 2 light bells on those.
Okay, thank you. But wasn't there a question about the Saturday Night Live hosts?
There have been, but not tonight.
Not tonight.
But you could ask one if you want. The question was what whole cast was inducted into the TV Hall of Fame, and it was Saturday Night Live from the first year.
All right. So I missed that. Then I've got one more guess about the MTV animation. Being an old guy, I vaguely remember it was claymation, and would that be Nick Park?
It sure is.
Oh, no way.
The Hartman. Wallace and Gromit guy. Absolutely correct.
Wallace and Gromit, yeah.
Very
I
nice.
I remember the claymation. It was pretty unique at the time.
Oh, that's good, Scott. Thank you.
I'm a little alarmed that he called that an old guy question. But
well,
I assume it's all been destroyed in a warehouse fire, right?
Right.
Didn't 10 years
ago? Thanks much.
Thank you, Scott. Next caller, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I'm on.
You are.
My guess with the Simpsons character, is it any chance it's Ernest Borgnine?
It's not.
It's not.
Okay. Well, that was my best shot. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll take next caller. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello. Hello. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, it is you. Who is it?
Hi. So my name is GK. I'm calling from Salt Bay.
Hey, GK.
I have some questions we have some quizzes here every year, so I have some quiz questions from that. I know Kira, she had asked me to call and ask some questions from past years.
Excellent. Let's hear some.
So these are some questions from last year. So hope it's of interest to you guys. So.
The good questions last forever.
Okay. So here's the first one. So this cat, this is a Turkish cat, and its name means black ear in Turkish. Okay? And this cat was once trained for bird hunting in Iran and in India. And these hunting skills were actually used as a pastime. And this pastime, where this cat was used for its hunting skills of birds, leads to a very well-known phrase in English. So what's the name of the cat, and what phrase are we talking about?
The cat's out of the bag. That's my guess in the phrase.
Curiosity killed the cat. But it's going to be, the word cat isn't going to be in the phrase.
So we're not right. Okay.
I'm particularly, the clue is that it's the hunting skills of the cat leads to this phrase.
Mm.
mice catching mice, something about that. You can't catch mice with honey. No, that's not right.
Nobody here has any
building
idea.
Building a better mousetrap.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, as I said, this cat was trained in bird hunting, and then pastime dealt with hunting birds.
I think you might have to tell us this one. It's not go for the jugular, is it?
Well, that's
okay.
Good.
So, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, the phrase is put a cat amongst pigeons.
Put a cat, amongst
villains.
Amongst pigeons.
Never heard it. Until now.
Amongst pigeons.
Until now.
Okay.
Yeah. And the cat is a karkal. It's a large cat, which is Turkish. So that was the first question I had. Can I ask a couple of more questions?
One more question.
Okay. This is in science. Sort of interesting again. So you guys have heard of Mendeleev's periodic table, right?
We've heard.
I went to high school with it.
The periodic table has elements of the chemical elements arranged in columns. So the reason why Mendeleev arranged the periodic table in such a fashion was because he drew inspiration from an activity he used to do during train journeys. These were long train journeys, and he used to do this activity in the train to keep himself busy. So what is this activity in the train journey that used to keep himself busy that led him to arranging elements in this column-wise fashion?
Playing Tetris.
Very good guess.
He's Russian.
Anyway.
Did he maybe try to guess weights of things?
No.
I only ask because the Nintendo guy, or one of the guys, one of the older guys who made Nintendo games, like his whole hobby, his whole pastime is guessing the lengths of things and then measuring them to be sure. So
that wasn't
could be a weight. Yeah?
Was it have anything to do with game playing?
Yes. He was playing a game.
How about crossword puzzles?
Too old.
Too old?
Yeah. No.
He was too old.
Crossword puzzles were later, I think. Okay.
I think you'll give us the answer. What is it?
He used to play solitaire. So he used to arrange all the cards.
Played solitaire?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how we got the idea of arranging elements in a column.
Well, very good. Thanks for the question, GK. Have a good evening. And we're just past halfway. So, Kira, what haven't we answered on your schedule?
All right. That one is actually answered. So I am looking for the Grammy-winning comedy album featuring the bit called Jane Fonda's Birthday Party with Barbara Streisand. I am also looking for Billboard Magazine's 50 Greatest Album Covers of All Time, the top 10. We already have the Velvet Underground and Nico. We already have the Beatles' Abbey Road. And then we have Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, looking for 7 more.
Excellent. Jeremy, what's up?
All right. What two actors?
I've got
nothing in my queue.
Okay. All right.
What about you?
I do have in the TV Hall of Fame.
Yes.
There are six people. Or there are six couples that went in as duos. We got Burns and Allen and Huntley and Brinkley. We're looking for 4 more, and that's all I have. Let me give the phone number too. 415-841-4134. And our 800 number is 866-798-8255. And Jeremy, give us a new question.
Before he does, do you mind if I take another guess at this duos?
Go ahead.
Okay. What about the Bunkers?
The Bunkers, no. They went in like Ricky and Lucy. They went in separately. And Carol O'Connor before. Anyway, so not them. Okay. Anyway, new question, Jeremy.
All right. What two actors that turned 61 and 60 today, one each, co-starred as Newland Archer and Ellen Olenska in a Martin Scorsese film? They have a career total of 3 acting Oscar wins from 9 nominations. Pretty well-known people.
So Newland Archer, and what was the other name?
And Ellen Olenska.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yes.
I'm drawing a blank on the answer. 61 and 60, that should be.
And they have between them 3 acting Oscars.
So is Joe Pesci one of them?
No, mm-hmm. Though he certainly has an acting Oscar for a Martin Scorsese film.
And he's about that age.
Yeah. Jodie Foster?
It is not.
Okay.
No,
I don't think she's quite at 60, but
I don't think she is either.
She's probably close, though.
Yeah.
All right, so say the question again.
What two actors that turned 61 and 60 today co-starred as Newland Archer and Ellen Olenska in a Martin Scorsese film? They have a career total of 3 acting Oscar wins from 9 nominations, and all but one of those are lead nominations.
All right, that's great. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. Welcome, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hey, Fred in West Virginia. How you doing?
Okay, good, good. I got some baseball questions from a non-sports guy, me.
I happen to know you're a non-sports guy.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, so a player swings, the batter swings, third strike, but the catcher's mitt gets hit by the bat, the bat. How do you call that? How do you score that?
Is that a pass ball?
No, I think it's catcher's interference, and it counts as a strikeout, and then I forget how they credit the guy getting to first base. The catcher might get an error on that. I'm not sure if he gets a fielding error or not. Is that kind of it?
Exactly. E2, batter goes to first.
E2 is an error by the catcher for those keeping score at home.
Very nice.
Okay.
It's the first baseball question Fred has ever asked, by the way.
Batters, I didn't know. In fact, the announcer during the ball game asked the other announcer, how do you score that? They didn't really know.
E2, I like it.
E2, take your base, okay? The batter swings, the batter misses the ball, and it gets caught in the catcher's mask.
Ooh.
Can you catch the ball with anything besides your glove?
Well, you can catch it with your bare hand, I know that. And I think you can't catch it with your hat.
Is the ball still in play if it's caught by the mask?
Well, it would be out of play since it went by the batter. Carrie, do you know?
No.
So what's the question exactly?
The batter swings.
Right, and he misses
the ball. It gets caught in the... No, let me make sense. Swings at the ball, taps the ball, makes contact. It gets caught in the catcher's
mask. He foul tips it into the... If it went into his mitt, it would have been an out, but into his mask. I don't know. Why don't you tell us?
Does he catch the ball? What happens?
Do you know the answer?
They execute the catcher.
Yeah. tell us.
Dead ball.
Oh, it's a dead ball. Okay. So the
dead ball, if it gets caught in the umpire's mask. Okay. All the base runners advance one.
Oh.
And the batter gets called whether it's a ball or strike.
Excellent. All right.
Okay.
One more?
Very good. One more.
Okay.
Okay. Chris Rock's new special for Netflix. Did you guys see it?
Not yet.
Pretty funny. How much did he get paid?
$10 million.
Nothing.
No. No. He got paid a lot. Within $5 million, how much did he get paid?
$50 million.
For 2 specials. Excellent. $40
million. Really?
That's within 10. And I got one answer.
Okay,
try this. Jane Fonda's birthday party with Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Kathy Griffin.
It has to be,
and it is. Oh, very good, Fred.
From the album Calm Down, Girl.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
All right. I have a question about, of all things, Green Eggs and Ham, the Dr. Seuss book. He was challenged to write a book of 50 words total, and he did it. And I would like to know the following thing. 5 of those words are nouns. Well, actually, 7 are, but I'm not giving you ham
eggs. And ham.
So 5 of them are nouns, and there are no 2-syllable words. There is 1 3-syllable word.
Yeah, this comes up all the time, and I forgot.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. I've heard the question more than once, but still don't remember it.
Well, that's good. Okay, so I'm looking for the 5 common nouns that are not ham and eggs and that are in Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss, of course. And I'm looking for the 1 3-syllable word that is in that book.
I think
nevermore.
I have 3 of the words. Well, I'll do 2. What about fox and box?
Fox and box are 2 of them. Very nice.
Car?
Car is 1 of them. And by the way, I just discovered 2 more words, so keep going.
In that case.
Because I took out the animals and I made them separate.
Train?
Train is in there.
And you're not counting pronouns, I assume.
No pronouns.
I think plane then as
Plane's
well.
Plane's not in there.
It's not.
It's
okay.
Not according to the list.
Car would not eat them.
So we have fox, box, and train.
What's the car rhyme? I would not eat them in a car. I would not eat them.
Car is 1 of them.
Right, but what's the car rhyme? Is there not a car rhyme?
There is. Not in what's left.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave those out there. There's 4 more nouns out there, and there's a 3-syllable word out there. And we're going to turn to the phones now. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, it's Tom in the deep, deep, deep South Bay.
Wow. All right, the deep South. Welcome.
Yeah. Deep South Bay.
Like yes. Burlingame?
Fresno.
Way, way further. So far south, I can't even see it. All right, let's see. The duos, TV, the duos. How about Rowan and Martin?
Oh, that's
no,
good.
That's a really good guess, but they're not on there.
Hmm. Sonny and Cher?
Not Sonny or
I
Cher.
I hope not.
Your wish came true on that.
And Jake and the Fat Man.
just one of them, apparently. No, neither one.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Oh, man. Oh, Newland Archer and Ellen Oleska. Is that Daniel Day-Lewis and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Darn right. Oh, very nice. Do you know the movie?
Age of Innocence.
Absolutely.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Fantastic. I'll pick some guesses at the album covers. I don't think any are right.
Well, then you might get them right. Yeah. Let me tell you about
the quality.
I'm pretty sure the Steve Martin brothers is probably not one, so that's got to be my favorite.
No.
No. Ship arriving too late to save a drowning witch.
No.
Whipped cream and other delights.
That's the old Frank Zappa album. No. Yeah, that's all I got.
There's a lot of good Zappa album covers.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
And I'll ask one question.
Sure.
Who were the two musical acts who were nominated for an Oscar for One from the Heart? It's Francis Ford Coppola's film of the 80s.
So they were nominated for songwriting?
What do you guess?
For Best Musical Score.
Wow.
I saw that movie 100 years ago.
Yeah, I just want to guess, like... Lloyd Webber, Rice, Sondheim, you know, the staples, but I've never seen the movie.
Yeah. No, it's more of a...
These are more
rock music,
These are actual acts, right?
Yeah.
Like bands.
Bob Dylan.
What year's the movie?
Individuals. Oh, I want to say 84. I'm not sure if that's quite right, but that's, I think, the proper
and
area.
The movie takes place in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So are they kind of Vegas-y bands?
No. Individuals.
Wayne Newton.
Two individuals who are not otherwise associated, as far as I know.
Werner Klemperer and Gary Busey.
And Wayne Newton is not one of them, is he?
No.
Okay. I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't associate either one with Vegas either.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they were both Oscar-nominated for music from this film, this one film.
Yeah, they were. Okay. The soundtrack was nominated for original music score.
Okay.
How about Willie Nelson?
No, but you're kind of on the right track for...
Kris Kristofferson.
In a way, both of them.
Merle Haggard, I mean, let's...
Johnny Cash?
No, a little more independent-minded, I think, but still well-known.
Lyle Lovett.
That's good. Loudon Wainwright III?
Oh.
Just say Wainwright.
Closer.
You cover a couple people that way. Rufus, you know.
Let's say the W is right.
What?
Wesley Willis.
So say the question one more time, and then I'm going to have you give it to the board operator.
Oh, Hank Williams Jr.?
No, you're close. Who are the two artists who were nominated for the Oscar for Academy Award, or Oscar for Original Music Score for One from the Heart, Francis Ford Coppola?
How about, like, if it's that sort of country range, maybe like Kenny Rogers or Dolly Parton?
Good guesses.
Who were pretty active in that time. No.
No, good guesses. Yeah, no. The there's one man, one woman, and the woman is definitely more associated with country than
Loretta Lynn, maybe.
And rock.
Reba McEntire.
No.
Okay,
no,
Ronnie Raitt.
Not kind of a top tier, but. Okay.
So why don't we put you on hold, and if you give the answer to David, and
okay,
we'll go on here. Anyway, so let's get another call in. Okay, hello. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Fran. I'm in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. Is Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced, the record cover?
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that a great guess? No, it's not.
It's too good an album cover to make the list.
No. Really, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Hi. Okay, so now here's my question. Who played Lilith on Cheers?
Lewis?
Bebe Neuwirth.
Yes.
Oh, Lilith. Oh.
Yes. And what show was she in? On Broadway.
Chicago, among other things. Yeah.
Last question. Who passed away recently? Who was a cast member of Frasier?
Oh, not Harry Anderson.
Oh, no,
then.
It's the guy who played the father, Martin, not Martin.
John Mahoney.
Thank you. John Mahoney.
A while ago.
Yep, you got him. Okay, all under a minute.
Thank you, Fran.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, take the next call. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is Scott once again from Fairmount Heights.
Scott again. Welcome again.
Well, because being an old guy, I know these old things. And I heard reference to one of my favorite movies, One from the Heart.
Oh, great.
Coppola. And the musicians you're looking for are Crystal Gale and Tom Waits.
And we're looking to the booth here. And I think, do we have Crystal Gale and Tom Waits? Yes, we do. Two bells for you. Very nice. Yeah, I remember. That's very good. Oops, that was three bells.
Beautiful music.
Thanks, Scott.
And one last reference. I got to say, what a great show. I don't think that ever in the history of entertainment has Werner Klemperer and Gary Busey been mentioned in the same
show. We're combing through the records right now, and so far that seems to be true. Thank you.
And a George Carlin reference, too, from his comedy album.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was the first host of Saturday Night Live on their debut show.
That's mm-hmm. true. Yeah, we have the show has a certain coherence that it doesn't usually have. Very proud of that. Okay, so let's, Kira, do you have a question?
No.
I'm sorry. You still on, Scott?
I'm still on.
Okay.
Thanks much.
Thank you very much. Next question. Kira,
all
give us one
right.
more.
Okay, well, I've got a few questions on bad 80s TV. I'll just give you one, unless you want more.
We can answer them quickly.
Imagine.
Who knows?
Probably. An escaped clown.
Of course.
Of that old trope.
Yeah.
An escaped clown takes three young singers to learn assorted life lessons on an asteroid that is populated by a gorilla, a woodpecker, an elephant, and a news-reading wildebeest. Yet the show's titular vehicle somehow never became a popular slang term for drug use, named the TV show.
I got Alice. Lost somewhere in the middle. Yeah,
I got lost in the beginning. I'm glad you made it that far.
The studio audience is amazing.
Did you say Alice?
I said Elf.
Okay. Alice.
Alice was on for a while. It's possible. Yeah. And that gets us back to Marty Scorsese.
And it never became a drug reference. Well, maybe it has.
But it was a good show. That wasn't bad 80s TV. So an escaped clown takes three young singers to learn to learn assorted life lessons on an asteroid that's populated by a gorilla, a woodpecker, an elephant, and a news-reading wildebeest. Yet the show's titular vehicle somehow never became a popular slang term for drug use. Name this TV show.
I'd like to pass.
Yeah, that was the same question, just repeated, right?
Yeah, yes. No, it was my other escaped clown question. I've got several.
Okay, I think we'll turn to the audience now.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome. Hello.
I've been taken by an escaped clown.
We on? All right. I think we'll move on to the next question. Jeremy.
Sure. The cover of what album seems appropriate, and I'm wondering what's on the list. The cover of what album, one of three ever to include seven top 10 singles, features an Annie Leibovitz photo of the singer's butt because, according to the singer, it looked better than a photo of his face.
So there's an album that had seven top 10 singles.
Yeah, there are three, in fact. This is one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And?
It's a
pretty well-known album. It's pretty popular.
It should be.
Yeah.
But there's an insult to the thing about his butt looking better than his face, right? Because I was thinking it might be Michael Jackson, but then no one would say that about Michael Jackson, would they?
When I thought about it at first, I thought it was a you know, speaking poorly of his face, but maybe he's speaking really great about his own butt. It's not clear to me. I had this realization when I put this together today.
Then I'll go with Michael Jackson.
It is not Michael Jackson. Though one of the other two albums with seven top 10 hits on it is Michael Jackson album.
All right.
And it's the one you would think it is.
All right. You want to give us a hint? There's a little time. Kira, you already know. Is that why you're not
answering? Oh, yeah. I'm not allowed to answer this one.
Some of those songs include My Hometown, I'm Going Down, Cover Me.
Oh, this is Bruce Springsteen.
It is.
And it's which album has his butt? Is it Born to Run?
It is not. Started off right.
Born in the USA.
It is, yes.
All right.
Born to Run has him with the guitar, you know.
Very
and
nice.
And also, Born to Run was on Rolling Stone's list of best album covers.
But not Born in the USA.
No.
Of course.
All right.
Well, I will give that a half a bell there. All right, I think we have a call coming in. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oh. Yep. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. In theory. Hello.
Nope. John Cage.
Okay, we'll move on to, let's see, we have about 10 minutes left, so I'll give you a short question. This one recalls last week's, where we had the big Barbie doll question, and now I asked...
You are obsessed.
I've gotten into it. Well, I had known nothing about it, and now I know almost nothing, but I know this. I asked around if there were any Ken dolls who are celebrities, and there was a collector's edition. The first Ken doll was a Hollywood legend, so the first Ken doll who was not Ken was a character in a Hollywood movie. Who was it?
A character.
Oh, not even.
A character.
What about?
Oh, that's good. I like that guess.
Our studio audience knows this answer, I'm ashamed to say.
Oh, well,
did the studio audience get it correct?
The studio audience did get it correct.
Oh, I didn't see what.
My guess is Ashley Wilkes.
Did you see it?
I saw it. No, I saw what she wrote. Absolutely.
It's Rhett Butler. That's the right answer to that. Very good. Okay. We still have time here, so we'll go around for another round of questions.
Sure, and then we'll take some more
calls. Yes. So Rhett Butler was the answer to the first Ken doll who was not actually represented as Ken.
I'm going to give you another bad TV question.
All right. Oh, did we get the, we didn't get the other answer.
No,
right.
You still have that one. The actor who played Clyde in Any Which Way You Can. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you've heard this question, so you're not allowed to answer it. Okay, so the actor who played Clyde in Any Which Way You Can later starred in what famously terrible 1983 television show in which his titular character, formerly known as Cha-Cha, had an IQ of 256, the ability to speak perfect English, and a job as a U.S. political advisor.
You've asked me this twice.
And you still don't remember?
And I still, like, each time, including this now third time, no, I don't remember. Okay. And I just remember being
Is it a
baffled.
Chimpanzee?
It is a chimpanzee. Okay.
It's not an orangutan?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. You're
well, close enough.
Yeah.
You don't beat
I don't want to mock you around.
I thought I did well.
No, you're right. It is an orangutan. But yes, evidently
I'm
two different
bell.
That's fine. Two different orangutans. So he was the one from Any Which Way You Can, not the one from Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, well, people frequently get those wrong and they get them mixed up out there.
So you're halfway there. There was a television show. He was in a television show for like half a season, if even, back in 19.
Chimping around.
So do we have the whole answer to that, or are we missing parts? I have no idea.
Yeah,
okay,
you need
we got
the title
that.
Still.
Okay, I think we can turn to the phones now, I hope, for the answer to that one. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Mehul.
Mehul, welcome.
Hi. So I just want to ask, I really like sports, and I really like questions involving really dominant athletes. So I'll have two back-to-back ones. So first question, who would be the all-time NHL leader in scoring even if he never took a shot on goal?
Schutze.
Would it be
Schutze scores? You hear that all the time.
It's clever.
It's not Gretzky. What am I missing here?
Is it Wayne Gretzky?
It is Wayne Gretzky.
Okay.
He has more assists than anyone else has goals and assists.
That is pretty impressive. Not as impressive as Schutze.
The second would be Esther Vergier is probably my favorite tennis player, and she's won about 470 matches consecutively here in like the early 2000s. What specific kind of tennis does she play?
Wheelchair?
Yes, that is right.
Nice. Very good. Yep. What's her name again?
Tell Mehul.
And what's the name of the woman tennis player?
Esther.
Oh, Esther Vergier.
Oh, very nice. All right. Thank you very much, Mehul.
Thank you.
All right, Jeremy, you have a quickish question for us?
Not
Kira length.
Sure. I have two questions shorter than that. No. Wednesday, April 25th, was the 44th anniversary of the Carnation Revolution, ending authoritarian rule in what country? The Carnation Revolution.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what were the years?
44 years ago.
Okay.
I'm not here to do math. Whatever's 18 plus 56, 20 plus 54, 74.
So the Carnation Revolution happens in 74.
Yes, it was not quite the Velvet Revolution, but it was a relatively peaceable revolution. And it's a country you've heard of.
That's good. You're sure of that. All right.
Yes. Used to be one of the largest empires in the world.
Kira, what do you got?
Oh, don't look at me. Politics questions.
Boy, how about Turkey?
It is not Turkey. No.
Okay.
It is a European country. I've been there. That might help Kira.
Did you Did you have your? If you have your passport, we could.
Look right. Yeah. Yes.
How about Liechtenstein?
It is larger than Liechtenstein.
All right.
In area and population.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be that. That was way too early. So earlier than Yugoslavia.
It is further west than Yugoslavia, yeah. And it is mainland Europe.
All right.
So. In fact, further west than almost anything you're going to say.
So Portugal.
It is Portugal,
oh,
yes.
Wow. All right. That's a good hint. All right. I'll ask one of my short questions. We're getting towards the end here. This was submitted by Sue Schweik. It's a games question. In 1966, Ava Gabor played a game on television on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and ended up being given credit for selling more than 5 million copies of that game. What game was it?
Twister.
Oh, that was quick. You knew that. All right. I'll give you another one then. This one is a Beatles question. After they won the MBE award, they were joking around one day. The Beatles were joking around, and George Harrison, it didn't stand for what everybody thinks it stands, the Medal of the British Empire. It stood for something else.
Something Beatles.
Something Beatles. And something, yeah, I'll just say something Beatles.
Like is the B for Beatles? Like
the Beatles is not for Beatles.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's related to the Beatles and their career.
Something Brian Epstein. More
yes.
Brian Epstein.
Yes. Mr. Right. Brian Mr. Epstein. Brian Very Epstein. Good. All right. All right. Kira, you got a quick one?
Sure. I do. Two answers. What city performs the most weddings in the U.S. each year? And what city performs the most weddings per year in the world?
So U.S., is it Vegas?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. I've been to weddings there.
And in the world?
Wow, I don't know. Vegas?
No.
Okay.
Paris?
No.
What's a really populous city? Shanghai?
Mm-mm. I can give you a clue.
Sure.
It's a city that is not a world capital, no matter what people tell you.
Zurich?
No.
Are people
Australia
telling you
Zurich? I don't know.
Canberra?
So that is a world capital,
oh, right.
I hope.
That's right.
I don't know. I haven't been kept up to date.
No, but it's not Sydney either.
Okay. Is it the most populous city in the country? Possibly.
Probably.
What continent are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Australia? Wellington. I don't know.
Is it Australia?
No, it's not Australia.
No, it's going to be it's in Europe, yeah?
I'll tell you that it's Eurasia.
Eurasia. So Moscow?
No.
Which is the capital of Russia.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's ignore that point. What's Eurasia? Oh, Istanbul.
There you go.
Is not Ankara.
Right.
Yeah.
Very nice. I think, well, there's no one waiting on the phone, so we're going to take a Jeremy question.
Sure. Activist, artist, and philanthropist Larry Harvey passed away yesterday. He's probably most famous for, with friend Jerry James, founding what in 1986?
That's Burning Man.
It is indeed.
Oh, it is.
Quick question, quick answer.
Got one more?
Sure. Let's see. Comedian Hari Kondabolu wrote and starred in a 2017 documentary about what Grammy-winning Caltech graduate with a PhD in computer science?
Oh, is this on The Simpsons? Yeah.
Apu Nahasapima Petalon.
It is Apu Nahasapima Petalon.
I think it's about the only Simpsons question I might be able to answer. All right, I have one on games that you might get. This is another one submitted by Sue Schweik. One chess piece started out in India, and it was an elephant, and in France it was the fool, and in Germany it was the messenger, and in English, the way we call it would be what chess piece? And there aren't that many to guess.
No, there aren't. The rook?
The rook. Not the castle.
I have several more guesses.
we'll give Kara one. We'll just go back and forth.
It doesn't seem like a way that an elephant would move, but let's go with the bishop.
It is the bishop.
That was all my guesses.
Movement there. All right, and then I'm going to ask one and we'll wrap up here. In 1960, Duke Ellington made his first recording.
It's his birthday today.
Is it really?
It really is.
All right, well, this is a good way to end the show then. He made his first recording of someone else's music. Mm-hmm. Whose music did Duke Ellington record for the first time that he did not write? And
I was going to say Sinatra, but not much writing by Sinatra.
No, this is not Sinatra.
Very early Beatles in 1960.
Yeah, it'd be very pre-Beatles.
Is it jazz, I assume?
You know what? And I'm looking at the clock here, so let's wrap up here.
Sure.
Kira.
All right. So the seven of the 50 greatest album covers of all time that we didn't get, Patti Smith, Horses, Notorious B.I.G., Ready to Die, Led Zeppelin, Nirvana, Nevermind. Cyndi Lauper, She's So Unusual, Public Enemies, Fear of a Black Planet, and Elvis Presley's Elvis Presley. The escaped clown that takes three young singers to learn assorted life lessons on an asteroid, blah, blah, blah. That is The Great Space Coaster.
Oh, God, I've seen that show.
And finally, the actor who played Clyde in Any Which Way You Can, who starred in a famously terrible 1983 TV show where he's a U.S. political advisor, that is Mr. Smith.
Nicely done. Jeremy, what do you
got? None for me. I'm done.
All right. We have in Green Eggs and Ham, we did not get goat, mouse, boat, and house. And the three-syllable word is anywhere. And the couples who were inducted to the Hall of Fame together were the Smothers Brothers, McNeil Lair, Tim Conway, and Harvey Korman from the Carol Burnett Show, and the one I like the best, Vivian Vance and William Frawley.
Oh, nice.
This has been Minds Over Matter. This is Lori Fisher. Thank you, Kara Pace, for being here, and thank you, Jeremy Horowitz, for being here. Dana will be back next week with tales of his adventures other places. Thank you for calling in. Have a great rest of the weekend, and I will see and hear from all of you soon, I hope. Thank you. Goodbye.